We are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington, and joining me as always, it's Mike Giletto.
That was a hell of an intro.
Yeah, I dragged it out a little bit today. You know, I'm toying around with some stuff. We're in the summer. We're having some fun. And we're going to get into the whole summer topic a little later. But I wanted to start the show by saying that you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can also find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike _ Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, and lastwordonsports.com. Now, before we get into it, we don't really have much to talk about today.
That was a quiet sports week.
Right. The last couple of weeks, we've been heavy on the NHL with the draft and free agency and, you know, all that stuff. But at this point, most of the draft picks have signed. The ones that are signing have pretty much signed. All the big free agents have kind of found their spots for the most part. The only real story in the NHL is where does Erik Karlsson go?
Apparently he was on Tampa for like all of a minute and a half, and then the deal got somehow nixed. There's a bad reporting somewhere. Who knows where Carlson's going to end up? It seems like Tampa and Ottawa are close, at least.
Yeah, I know. I know Dallas was in the running for a while.
Yeah, but they don't want to get rid of Miro Heiskanen, which I think is the asking price of Ottawa for Ottawa.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Is Tampa willing to give up, like, a Sergachev-type player?
I don't know.
Because that's probably about the asking price.
Yeah, either Sergachev or a point.
Right. And they're both good young players, obviously. And it's interesting to me to see if they're really willing to gear up and go for it this year.
And I wonder if Sergachev does get traded, if that ends up going to his head. I mean, that'd be the third time he gets traded in his... I'm sorry, second time he gets traded in his early
career. It'll be his third
career.
Team.
Third well, team.
Yeah, but, you know, he was part of the Drouin trade, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, getting traded out of Montreal is a blessing at this point.
That's true.
So he can't really complain about that. He got traded from Montreal heading downwards to a Tampa Bay team that's always in the running
but then
for
if he's, then
winning
if he's in
the
these,
conference.
But then if he's in these talks, he goes back to a dumpster fire in Ottawa.
Well, I'm not saying he'd be happy about it, but I don't think it would get to his head because it's not really him, right? Like, if he's traded for a guy like Erik Karlsson, that's almost a compliment, right?
Yeah.
You're a big enough piece that you helped this team get Erik freaking Karlsson, you know, and that's a big deal. But Ottawa also doesn't have the best record with trade returns this offseason. You know, the Mike Hoffman deal really shot them in the foot and also involved the state of Florida.
Yeah,
imagine if Karlsson goes there and Karlsson and Hoffman are about an hour and a half drive from each other.
They play in the same state.
So. Oh, their girls can meet up for lunch.
Yeah.
Or not. But, all right, we're going to get into a little bit of Phillies talk here. The Phillies are in first place.
Yeah, I think they're tied right now with the Atlanta Braves, I believe.
Yesterday, they were in sole possession of first place. Today, Monday, they're tied. They have two fewer games than the Braves played at this point. So they're even in the standings, but the Phillies have the tiebreaker based on win percentage. And it's good to see.
Yeah.
You know, also, Aaron Nola is an all-star.
He is an all-star.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, I think
He's
it makes sense.
He's the Phillies' only representative, correct?
Correct. Yeah. But no, it makes sense. I mean, he's having a hell of a season.
We talked about it last week. He's a Cy Young candidate.
He has to be at this point.
I don't know if he's a favorite just because there's so many good pitchers. But
yeah, I think right now Scherzer's probably the favorite.
Right, but he's got to be in the running.
Yeah.
Right? He has to be a name that, you know, voters are keeping an eye on.
Yeah.
And it's good to see. You know, this team is playing well. They're still kind of favored to add a piece. You know, a guy like Machado.
I heard rumors that it seems like they're out of the Machado sweepstakes.
Really?
Yeah, I think the asking price is apparently too high.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the way the Phillies are building this team is kind of through the farm system and through, you know, the old school way where you get prospects and you develop them and you raise them as, you know, as your own. So it kind of makes sense that they don't want to go out and add a big free agent at the cost of a bunch of those prospects. Right?
Yeah. Now, there's rumors that they're after Whit Merrifield from the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, it's a nice little piece.
It's a nice name.
It's not quite a Manny Machado. But he helps the roster that we have today.
Right? Yeah,
and
for sure.
If he upgrades a position, this team that's already in first place, you know, you would imagine that solidifies their case to run the NL East.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see the Phillies leading the NL East.
Yeah.
This late in the season.
Yep. It has to be a while, right?
It has to be.
Seems like it.
You would think. It's been a long time. It's good to see the Phillies kind of back on top-ish, and even if it's temporary, right? Because this is still a young team. This team could easily lose 15 out of the next 18 and, you know, be fourth in the division.
Right. Now, it's still surprising where the Braves are. I mean,
and the Nationals.
Yeah, the Nationals, you would think, would be better.
You would think.
I mean, they're 45 and 44. I mean, they're hovering right around 500.
Yeah, and they had a mediocre start, and they haven't really sprung back from it yet. You know, this is a team in the Nationals that you kind of expect to be in the 95 win range.
Yeah.
And at this point, you know, we're just over halfway through the season, and they're not on pace for 95.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves and the Nationals did two completely different things. I mean, the Braves, everybody like saw the hot start, and they're like, oh, you know, we expect this team to fizzle out, kind of get to 500 by the middle of the season. And then the Nationals had a bad start, and they were like, all right.
They'll bounce back.
Right. Neither happened.
So. No. And then the Phillies were weird. They had the potential, especially when they signed Arrieta and Santana. Right, you kind of thought that maybe they could make a run, but nobody expected it this year.
No.
A lot of people were kind of gearing up for next year.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, I think the consensus out there was that this team wasn't going to, they were going to compete for a playoff spot. Not necessarily win a division.
But that they were going to
be there. Maybe be there in September with some meaningful games down the stretch.
Right, exactly. You're playing meaningful baseball when your September call-ups come up.
Right.
But nobody expected them to actually be leading the division. And it's definitely nice to see, right? You're never going to complain when a team is ahead of the projection. But it's a surprise, and we're kind of along for the ride at this point. The All-Star game is coming up. The trade deadline is the end of the month. You know, maybe they add a piece, maybe they don't. I don't think they stand pat.
You don't think so?
No, I think they add something.
Probably.
Even if it's a mid-level guy, right? If it's a Whit Merrifield, or if it's like a Brad Hand that we talked about a couple of weeks
ago. I know Adrian Beltre, I think, was a name that was thrown out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see. What they give up. And
yeah, who knows? Maybe there's a team, you know, in the AL that feels like they're going to miss the playoffs, and they ship off one of their big players. Like, you know, that's the kind of thing that does sometimes happen. You know, baseball is a weird sport, just how many games there are and how long the season is. And, you know, maybe you see something unexpected out of the AL and a big star gets shipped to the Phillies.
Yeah. And then I know they start, they actually have a doubleheader on Monday today against the New York Mets.
It's a good old fashioned doubleheader too.
Yeah.
4 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
Yep.
They don't have that 1 o'clock, 3 hour break.
Right.
Everybody goes and eats dinner. You know, they're scarfing down hot dogs between games.
Right. Yep. So that should be fun to watch.
Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun. I really do like the nature of the back-to-back doubleheader.
I do too. Like, and you don't see him anymore.
No, you don't. And that's fair, but it'll be interesting to see how Gabe Kapler manages the bullpen. Right? Because guys won't pitch in both games, probably.
No.
You know, maybe somebody comes in for an inning, or you get them for one tough out.
Right.
Right? And then you sit them, and then you bring him back in tonight. But it'll be interesting to see how Gabe handles the bullpen. You know, we talked last week about how he handled the bullpen really, really well in that that long game. I think it was 15 innings, 13 innings, something like that.
Yeah, 13, I think it was.
Right.
The game where Pivetta pitched in the 13th inning.
Right. He used all his pitchers because they had a Monday rest day and a Thursday rest day.
Right.
So, you know, we gave Kapler some credit for really utilizing his bullpen well. And it would be interesting to see now. Today is almost the exact opposite, right? He has two games in one day.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see who comes in the fifth inning of this game if your starter's in trouble, of the first game, right? Who comes in the fifth or the sixth? And then who you have available in the second game.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting. And I think he'll handle it well. It seems like he's done a pretty good job getting comfortable with this team.
Yeah, yes.
Like, is it too early to say that he might be a manager of the year candidate?
It's probably too early. Maybe not.
I think he's probably in the running.
He might be.
Again, we just talked about this. The expectations for this team were 75 to 80 losses. And now it looks like they're going to be closer to 65 or 70.
Yeah. I mean, he could be in the running at this point. Because, like we already said, nobody really thought this team was really going to get.
Right. And he's done a great job.
Yeah, he has.
You don't hear about any managerial issues. You don't hear about, you know, nobody's coming out in the media and talking trash on
him. I mean, there's still questions.
Sure.
And there's going to be. I mean, but the thing I keep comparing it to is the Doug Peterson thing. I mean, when Peterson was here for the first year, I mean, everybody hated him. Nobody thought he was going to be the guy to deliver us a championship. What did he do? 3 years later, delivered us a championship.
I don't know if people hated Doug.
No, everybody, they wanted him out.
People were skeptical.
Yeah, and people were skeptical of Kaplan.
Yeah, but there's a difference between skepticism and hate.
A lot of people wanted him fired.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Gabe got a lot of that his first 2 weeks.
Exactly, and I think that there's some similarities there.
Right.
That's my point.
Right. By the way, who would have thought that Aaron Nola was the best pitcher on this team?
Yeah.
When they signed Jake Arrieta well, 3 weeks before
I even
the season.
Told you when they did the Arrieta signing, he's not the same Arrieta of 2015. No. He's just not.
No, and hopefully he gets back there, right?
Maybe.
Maybe not pitching in the one spot. If he gets a couple, two or three fewer starts this year, maybe he comes back strong next year, gets a little rest. Especially if this team doesn't make the playoffs, get him a full offseason, right? Because he's coming from a Cubs team that was making the playoffs every year. And he was pitching into November half the time.
Right.
So, you know, he is a little on the older side. Maybe the short offseason was tiring him out.
I don't know.
You know, he doesn't have the 5 months to recover, right? He's got like 3 and a half.
He doesn't have the same stuff anymore, though. Like, I think that's fair to say.
I agree. But if he can transition that and still be effective... You know, he's a great number two. He knows how to work a count. He knows how to find the plate. If he's your number two, you're in good shape.
Right. I mean, their pitching's kind of been up and down. Velasquez is coming along.
Yeah.
Pivetta is starting to get bounced around his last couple outings.
Yeah, but he's young enough that it's a bumpy road. It's not a problem necessarily.
Oh, sure. And even if this is his ceiling, that's still a great trade for Jonathan Papelbon. Like, absolutely. It's still a good return.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good place to be for the Phillies right now. You know, the bullpen's still a little bit questionable, but...
And then we get to see something else on Tuesday.
Okay.
We get to see a young arm, and I'm probably going to butcher this name, Eniel De Los Santos.
Yeah, you almost definitely butchered that, but, you know, I'll give
Eniel
you credit for it.
De Los Santos is expected to make his first major league start on Tuesday against the Mets. He came over in the...
And that's probably a result of today's doubleheader.
Yeah. He...
Of Monday.
Yeah. But he came over from the Freddie Galvis trade.
Right.
From the Padres. He was going to pitch in Wednesday's All-Star game, the minor league All-Star game.
Right.
He has a 1.89 ERA and is 9-3 in AAA. So he's been pitching really well down there.
Yeah. But again, you're playing against AAA players.
Oh, sure. So. Of course.
You know, if you get him good before MLB teams get a book on him, you can get 5 or 6 really good starts out of him down the stretch here. And even if it's an arm that the Phillies can put in if they play 6 days in a row, right? You want to give your starters 1 extra day's rest. You can sub him in as a de facto sixth starter.
Right. But
It's a good place to be, and we'll see how the kid does.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, he was projected to start the AAA All-Star game. Then he even was elected to go to the MLB All-Stars Future game. So,
okay.
Hey, this kid's got a future, it seems like. And for Freddie Galvis...
I see what you did there.
What did I do?
The Futures game.
The Futures game. That's what it's called.
And then you said the kid's got a future.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, buddy.
That wasn't on purpose.
That was real cheesy.
I know. It wasn't on purpose, I swear.
But, yeah, you know, we're still kind of following the Phillies on a week-to-week basis. And it's nice to see them climb up the standings and move into first place. And, you know, hopefully we see that continue, and it's now time to start looking at divisional races, right? Every game against the Braves is important. Every game against the Nationals is important, and it's time to start putting wins away.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to transition out of the Phillies because, you know, again, we've talked a bunch about baseball kind of not really being a week-to-week sport as much as it is month-to-month, but over the last month, the Phillies have been pretty good, and, you know, we'll keep following up on them, and we're gonna move into a little bit of a conversational topic.
Okay.
All right, because it is the summer. We don't have hockey. We don't have football. We don't have we have baseball, but baseball's every day. I got a question for you.
What might this question be?
How do you feel about the concept of NHL third jerseys?
Where's this coming from? Did they release?
Oh, the Flyers actually announced their third jersey, and they did it so quietly and so subtly that people missed it.
Okay.
It's actually the Stadium Series jersey from...
Okay. I actually dig the jersey.
Yeah, the black with the orange armbands.
Yeah.
We know Ben hates it. He's talked ad nauseum about how much he dislikes that jersey.
Yeah.
But we're now going to see that probably in the first half of the season, right? Because a couple years ago, when the Flyers played in that Stadium Series, they wore the gold 50th anniversary jersey for the first half of the year. And then after the Stadium Series, they kind of wore the Stadium Series jersey a couple times.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that that's kind of going to be the case this year, where they wear that Stadium Series jersey for the first half of the year until they announce the new Stadium Series jersey.
Right.
Which I'm really excited for.
Yeah, I am too.
I kind of hope it's that LeClaire, Lindros era, late 90s.
The black.
Yeah, with the white shoulders.
Yeah.
I hope it's that jersey exactly.
No.
I love that jersey.
I do like that jersey, but I also want to see something new and something fresh. Yeah, you get where I'm coming from there?
Yeah, but you know that the Stadium Series jerseys 99% of the time are retro in some way. Or they're making references to retro jerseys.
Yeah, no, I get that, but I still want a new idea. Like, I don't just want recycled material. Because I mean, that's what their jersey now is.
Right.
It's just a recycled jersey from the 70s.
Their home jersey now is the away jersey from the 70s.
Exactly.
No, I know. But at the same time, I'd kind of like to see that Philadelphia Quakers jersey.
Okay.
That burnt orange with, I mean, I'm assuming it would say Flyers kind of across it in, like, a cursive script. It was that was the rumored jersey for the first Winter Classic.
Yeah, and then everybody went out and bought these knockoff jerseys.
Everybody went out and bought the knockoffs, and then they came up with something completely different.
Yep.
I really did like that jersey.
And then now you still see those jerseys all over the place.
I know, and I just want to laugh at those people and go, you bought a knockoff.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't even the jersey.
And they still probably spent, you know, $100 on that.
Probably. Came from China.
Yeah.
Half the time, Flyers is misspelled.
Yeah.
But
anyway, what was the original question? How do I feel about
third
jerseys?
How do you feel jerseys? About
third jerseys?
Do you prefer a simple, this is the jersey you wear for 41 games at home, and this is the jersey you wear for 41 games on the road? Or do you like sprinkling in the third jersey every now and then?
I like it. I mean, this is something that's happened. It's been going on for a while. Like, it's not a new concept. I mean, this is probably happening since, what, the 60s or 70s, or probably not the 60s, probably 70s, 80s-ish.
I don't actually know the origin of the third jersey.
I think it's been going on in the 80s.
The alternate jersey.
Right.
I know it was a thing in the 90s. I don't know if it was a thing before that. I kind of like it.
And I like it, too.
I like the fact that it's at home. So, for people like your season ticket holders, if you go to all 41 games, you don't see the same jersey all 41 times.
Right. Not that people go to games to see jerseys.
Well, no, but it's a nice little mix it up,
right?
Especially if they don't announce beforehand. I don't like when they announce beforehand, oh, we're wearing the third jerseys tonight.
Right.
Right? Like, they've already said that when the season gets closer, they're going to announce what dates they're wearing the third jersey.
Right.
And I don't like that because I like showing up.
I don't know.
I like showing up. You get there. They come out for warm-ups, and you're like, oh, they're wearing the third jersey. This is cool. This is special. This is fresh. Whereas if you know beforehand, it's like, all right, that's cool, but it kind of ruins the surprise.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, you could kind of make your schedule around when they're, if you want to see them in a certain jersey, you get to know what game you have to go to see it.
I get both sides of it, but I would, you know.
But I mean, all it really is, and my guess is the origin of it, like, I don't know the exact year or anything, but it probably started as a money grab, like, just to sell jerseys.
I'm sure it is.
Like, yeah, that's all it was. It's a marketing ploy.
It definitely goes back to the 80s because the LA Kings had that Burger King jersey, which was definitely an alternate.
And
that was not their standard
home. That was
home.
Probably late 80s, right?
Yeah. No, I like it, but my favorite thing about going to Flyers games, right? I go to an important Flyers game, and the only question I'm asking myself when the game's about to start, are we going to get Lauren Hart, or are we going to get Lauren Hart and Kate Smith?
That's your question?
It's one of my questions.
Mine is, where's the beer?
Sure. That tells you, you know, a little difference about us. Anyway... That's one of my big questions going in, right? Are we going to get Lauren Hart, or are we going to get Lauren Hart and Kate Smith? Are we going to get God Bless America? Are we going to get that special presentation, right? Because everybody knows about the Kate Smith effect at this point. The Flyers have an outrageous record when Kate Smith plays, right? So if I show up and I hear Lou Nolan announce it's Lauren Hart singing God Bless America, I immediately get chills because I know Kate's coming and it's a special thing.
Sure. It doesn't do much for me.
They don't pull it out very often.
No. Well, they do it in the playoffs a lot. But.
Not a lot. Not a lot.
More often, I think.
Elimination games, that's about it. They don't do it for game three.
Right.
But it's a special moment, and I want that kind of same special moment figuring out if they're wearing the third jerseys or not. Or even have them wear the normal jersey during warm-ups.
Nah, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Why not?
I like the idea of a third jersey. They don't get carried away.
They wear special warm-up jerseys all the time.
I mean, sure, special warm-up jerseys.
The purple one for Hockey Fights Cancer, the camo one for the military.
Veterans Day.
The military night. Right.
Your military night, yeah.
Oh, Veterans Day is in September. Yeah, I guess they do it for a preseason game. You're right. It's in November. You're right. So they wear special warm-up jerseys all the time. They can just wear normal warm-up jerseys and then switch jerseys for the game.
Sure.
That's
I don't think they get as out of hand as, like, say, the NBA, where the NBA has a bunch of different jerseys. Okay, moving on. Yeah. Same thing. I mean, how do you feel about the baseball, about the MLB? Because they wear a lot of alternate uniforms.
Yeah, and I like it. And they have to because they have 81 home games.
Sure.
And also, you have to sell home games 3 days in a row.
Sure.
So if you're playing a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday series, if Tuesday is retro night, that makes sense.
Right.
Right. You fill the middle game in the series.
Right. And I mean, at any time, it's like, you know, either Memorial Day or the 4th of July. Like, they're wearing something red, white, and blue.
Right. Whereas the, Jackie Robinson Day, they all wear the number 42.
Yep.
I like that a lot in baseball. And I think baseball kind of has to do that, just given how baseball schedule works. But the NHL, it's max 1 to 2 home games a week, usually. Sometimes you have 3. But generally speaking, average it out, it's 1 to 2 home games a week. So you kind of have to mix it in, right? It's not every night. You don't have to sell Citizens Bank Park out 10 games in a row when they're on a 10-game homestand. You kind of, if the Flyers play 5 games in a row at home, it's spread out over 2 weeks.
Right.
So it's a little less, it doesn't have to be quite as gimmicky as baseball does.
Yeah, I get that.
If you look at the baseball, at the Phillies promotional schedule, every other night is something.
Because there's so many games, they have to fill up the seats.
Like, 80s night, 90s night, pet night, blah,
Jewish
blah, blah,
heritage
blah, blah.
Night.
Everything. Everything. Whereas, the Flyers don't really do a ton of it. Like, if it's firefighter night at the Wells Fargo Center for a Flyers game, nothing about the game changes except that they wear the camo warm-ups sometimes. And then they do a presentation about it.
It's a little different because I think they're having trouble selling out. Well, it's a known fact they're having trouble selling out Phillies games. There's more people in the seats of Flyers games. So they don't need to kind of go into their bag of tricks to try to, get more ticket sales.
Right.
Whereas the Phillies, try to do a whole bunch of promotional stuff to get seats in the stands.
By the way, have you seen that they're renovating the Wells Fargo?
Yeah.
Have you seen the pictures and stuff?
No, I haven't.
I haven't seen the actual pictures. I've seen the concept pictures. Apparently, the concourses are going to be bigger. And then in the hallways, how it's kind of straight up and fairly slim? Apparently, the back wall facing the outside of the building is going to be sloped. And it's going to create a little more space in the hallways. So that'll be really nice come Flyer season. Because those hallways between periods are rough.
Yeah, but you kind of expect it.
I mean, because 18,000 people are emptying out into the concourses at once.
Right, to ask the same question I asked when I arrived, where's the beer?
Oh, God, yeah. But
where's the shortest line for me to get said beer?
Right, and they're also putting in more stands and stuff to hopefully knock down lines. So I'm definitely interested to see.
And I know they're updating the audio, I think, too.
Yeah. I'm definitely interested to see come preseason how the Wells Fargo Center looks.
Yeah, chances are you won't even really notice it.
The pictures I saw make you think that this is a noticeable one.
All right. The way they announced it seemed like it just was kind of minor changes.
It's actually
when you're there and you have a lot of beer, you don't really notice.
It's actually like a multi-year plan.
Right.
They did some stuff last year. I think they changed some of the seats. And it this year is kind of the big concourse one.
Right.
And I know one of the walls, they're taking out one of the exterior walls and putting a giant glass wall in.
Okay.
You know, facing the, I think facing the Patterson Street side, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's going to look different this fall.
Okay.
Apparently.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
And then by the end of the project, it's going to look entirely different. And
you think so?
Well, yeah, because this is the update, right? Instead of tearing it down and building a new building, because this building is 20 plus years old.
Yeah.
Right? It went up in 96, I think, 97.
Right around there, yeah.
Right. So this building is 20 plus years old, and this is about when stadiums start to fail.
Sure.
Just in terms of things fall apart, things start to get dated. And this is their, I think it's a $1 billion renovation.
Is it that much?
Yeah, and it's a renovation over
money.
It's a renovation over a rebuild.
Right.
Yeah, it's Comcast Spectacor's money. They have more money than God.
Right.
They can afford it. But, you know, it'll definitely be pretty interesting. I'm pretty excited. Anyway, back to third jerseys.
Hey, how do we go on off on that tirade right there?
I don't know. Third jerseys. I like them. I like the Flyers' choice for them. It's the Stadium Series jersey.
Yeah, I dig it. Basically, I really do like it.
Basically just without the Stadium Series patch.
Now, have they like released the actual jersey itself? Like, I know it's a third jersey, but my question is, for the outdoor games, they tend to make the numbers bigger because you're further away from the stands. Are they going to shrink those numbers to make it suitable for an NHL rink?
I don't think they've announced the actual jersey yet.
Because you know what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think they put out a picture. It was very subtly done. Like it wasn't even really an announcement so much as like a heavy teaser.
Right.
And it was a picture of somebody wearing the Stadium Series jersey from the game. Basically just saying, this jersey's back.
Right.
And I don't think they've announced like an official press shot or, you know, anything significantly official about it. Either way, a lot of teams are getting third jerseys this year.
Yeah, they are.
Carolina's looks really, really good.
It does, aside from their new logo that they made. But
yeah, they've had some problems with their logos. The Arizona Coyotes brought back the old, I forget the name of that mascot.
Kachina?
Sure. The Phoenix-looking thing. It looks very new age, very... Yeah.
No, I have it pulled up right here on my computer.
Right. Yeah. Very modern art deco.
The green shoulders, and it's really weird.
Yeah, it's super strange, and it's super... It's super on point. Because when you look at that, you think Southwest United States. You think New Mexico, Arizona, kind of that Mexican-ish art, you know, stained glass type of look. So, I really like it.
Yeah, I do too. I agree.
It's weird. Like, I wouldn't buy one, but it's cool that it exists.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
if I was a Coyotes fan, I wouldn't buy one because I think it kind of looks ugly. But I like the fact
but
that
it
exists.
But just for, like, a nostalgia factor.
Right, exactly. You know, I think Anaheim's bringing back the Mighty Ducks in some capacity this year. I don't... Have they announced which jersey it is yet?
The Ducks?
Yeah.
No, I just tried to look it up. I didn't see anything on it.
Is it the one from the end of Mighty Ducks 2? Because if it's I'm pretty disappointed.
They haven't said.
Either that or they just wear red sweaters with District 5 sharpied on.
Yeah.
That would actually be my favorite. Right?
I bet it would.
I would buy that jersey. Just a red like penny from gym class with District 5 markered onto it. That's a money-making opportunity. How has nobody done that?
Because Disney has the rights.
True.
You know, you got to pay money.
I don't know if they own the rights to the words District 5. You might be able to get away with that.
Yeah.
And I think they're working with Anaheim now. Like, I know for a while they were pretty protective of that copyright.
Right.
And that's why the Ducks had to change it back to the Ducks. Right. They couldn't be the Mighty Ducks anymore.
Right.
But I think they've softened up. And I know they've softened up on the logo because the Ducks have been wearing that as a third jersey logo for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, they have.
It's no longer just the flying D. They've gone back to having the duck goalie mask.
Yeah, they have. With kind of an orange jersey.
Right. So I think they're actually expanding it back to Mighty Ducks in some capacity.
They haven't announced it yet.
They haven't?
No.
Okay. Either way, I like third jerseys. On the topic of jersey-ish topics, Alex Lyon presented a new mask. this week.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I mean, if you remember his last mask that he had, last it was year, the Pennywise.
Last year, he had the Pennywise mask with the orange balloon instead of the red balloon. It was really, really sharp. I really like his mask from last year. And this year, he stepped it up even further. And he went with the Sixth Sense mask.
Yeah, an iconic movie.
And it looks so good. And it was shot in Philadelphia. You know, M. Night Shyamalan shoots a lot of stuff in Philadelphia.
I See Dead People.
Right. There's a couple of really cool little Philly references on the mask if you look at it up close. And it's really, really cool. And I can't wait to see what he does.
It is really cool.
Yeah, I love it and I can't wait to see it. But I also can't wait to see what he does next year.
Yeah, and then it has his name right under the cage.
Right. And this helmet came out the day it was announced. He signed a 2-year extension.
Yeah.
He filed for arbitration, got arbitration, and then before they went to arbitration, they negotiated a 2-year deal.
Yeah, it's a minor league contract. Yeah,
he's not going to be a 30-game starter in the NHL unless absolute disaster strikes, you know, knock on wood.
That would be disaster, right. Yes.
But he'll probably serve a similar role he did last year.
Maybe.
The NHL crease figures to be Elliot Neuwirth, barring... barring injuries.
He almost slipped up with Mrazek. Don't bring his name back.
He's in Carolina now.
Yep. Get that name out of your head.
Yeah, no kidding. Elliot Neuwirth figured to be the crease. I could see Lyon being the first call-up, honestly.
Maybe. It depends when it is. If it's like...
It honestly depends on how healthy Stolarz is.
Stolarz, nah. I'm Lyon before Stolarz. But I think it depends on how early it happens. If it happens the second half of the year and Carter Hart's been killing it down there... Maybe.
Well, that's a different animal.
Right.
I'm talking about if, you know, Neuwirth gets hurt his first game because he's Michael Neuwirth.
And he's going to get hurt his first
exactly.
game.
Exactly. he's right up there with Johnny Oduya. Remember him? Remember that time he played one shift in a Flyers uniform?
And got burnt.
got hurt, never put a sweater on again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right. Anyway, we have Elliot and Neuwirth this year. We all know that they're in a contract year. I expect a big year out of Brian Elliott, by the way.
Do you?
He's playing for a contract.
I said it last week that the one downfall of this team is goaltending. If he plays like you're saying you think he's going to have, like the year you think he's going to have.
Listen, I'm not saying he's a Vezina candidate because he's just not that high.
He had a solid year last year. You're saying he's going to have a bounce back year?
I think he's going to be a little more consistent than he was last year.
Okay.
And he was very good last year when he played.
Sure.
He had a couple of issues. I think it comes down to the coaching staff burning out their goalies.
Okay.
Right? It's hard for a guy at Brian Elliott's age, because he's not 26, right? He's a little on the older side. It's hard for a guy at Brian Elliott's age to play 9 games in a row like he was forced to do sometimes this year. So if you can give him his... Yeah. Go ahead.
No, that's kind of what they've been doing, though. I mean, right. It goes back to the days with Steve Mason.
I agree. And
they would run him into the ground, too.
They would run him into the ground, too. Yeah. No, and that's something that needs to change. And hopefully now that you have an asset that you really need to protect in Carter Hart, it makes you a little more aware of managing your goalies. So the Flyers have Elliot Neuwirth on the Flyers roster. You know, this is before any training camp battles, right? I could see a guy like Lyon sneaking onto the roster, or even Carter Hart. You know, they have not ruled that out yet.
Imagine
if Carter Hart's on the opening day roster. Imagine if your tandem is Elliott and Hart. Sounds pretty nice.
Sure. No, and it would be entertaining. I just don't see it.
I know. And Elliott would get 60 starts and Hart would waste a year. So right. I don't love it. I would rather him get 60 starts in Lehigh Valley. But then in Lehigh Valley, you have 3 goalies, and they're going to carry 3 goalies. Ron Hextall came out.
He didn't say that. He was asked.
And he said probably going to be the case.
He was asked, can you carry 3 goals in the AHL? And he said, yes, you can.
And they're
going to
carry 3 goals.
Who goes
to the ECHL? It's not going to happen.
Why not? He played most of the season last year.
Yeah, it's only because he only played like 12 games last year.
Or trade one of them.
I think that's more likely. I think it's going to start. The Flyers are kind of going to be in the opposite situation they were last year, where they had to scramble for a Peter Mrazek-type goalie. I think this year, they're going to start with Lyon, Elliott, Neuwirth, Stolarz, and Hart, all spread between the Flyers and the Phantoms. probably Elliott and Neuvirth starting with the Flyers. And the other three down in Lehigh Valley.
Trade Stolarz for a 7th round pick. It's worthless.
You could get more than that for him if he plays well in Lehigh Valley. Anyway, I think come the trade deadline, if a team is looking for a goalie, you can afford to move Neuvirth or Elliott, whoever gets you the more value, depending on where you're at in the playoff race, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you call up a guy like Lyon to be your backup for the last 2 months, or Carter Hart to be your backup for the last 2 months, or even Stolarz to come in and be your backup if Lyon and Hart are killing it in Lehigh Valley. Whatever the case is, I think the Flyers have one extra goalie. I think they can afford to move one of them. I think they're incentivized to move one of them.
Yeah.
Because you're losing Elliott and Neuvirth for nothing at the end of the year anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Neuvirth's more likely to re-sign because he can be that backup to a Carter Hart coming up for the future.
I don't think either of them will re-sign.
I think Neuvirth might just because he knows his value is basement.
Yeah, but I don't think that he has the trust of the front office here. So okay. I don't know if they would want to re-sign him. Like, he might want to, but I don't think they will.
I think they'll get him for $1 million. Something cheap.
I don't know. But
regardless, well, then you're incentivized to flip him at the deadline.
Sure.
And if you're out of the playoffs, which I don't think the Flyers will be, for the record, if you're out of the playoffs, you flip Brian Elliott for a 3rd-round pick. If he's playing well, you might be able to get a 2nd.
Yeah, maybe.
You're losing him for nothing. At that point, you ship him off. You bring Carter Hart up. You let him take his lumps in the NHL. Boom. You're good. He's got his experience. Next fall, you're good to go.
Yeah.
And then if you're in the playoffs, you hold on to Elliott because he's going to be your playoff starter. You trade Neuvirth for a bag of hockey pucks. You call up a guy like Lyon to be your backup for the last month. And then into the playoffs. Or even Stolarz because he's got a little more experience.
Yeah.
Or Hart if he's absolutely killing it and the Phantoms are out of the race.
Right.
Right. Because I would rather Carter Hart get every start in Lehigh Valley for the playoffs then ride the bench for every game in the Flyers playoffs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If the Phantoms are in the playoffs and also the Flyers are in the playoffs,
I would rather
Lyon come up.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for being around an NHL club during the playoffs, kind of see how it's working. But I get what you're saying.
I understand, but
I get what you're saying, where you'd rather have him.
I'd rather have
that time down there.
On the ice.
Yeah, I get
that. Time on the ice is better than time in the locker room.
Sure.
So, you know, we'll see. But that's pretty far away.
Do you think this team, and we really went off on a tirade here after 3rd jerseys.
Hey, man, it's the summer. All bets are off.
But do you think his team signs anybody in free agency anymore, or do you think they're done? Like, do you think they get a 3rd-line center?
I don't actually know who's really out there. I think if the team right now is Claude, Coots, Konechny, 2nd line is JVR, Nolan, Jake. 3rd line is, you know, I think your 3rd line center is Scott Laughton this year.
You think it's Scott Laughton?
And then your 4th line is whoever's the most ready, right? Maybe it's Mikhail Vorobyev. Maybe it's Cole Bardreau, although I think he's a winger. Maybe it's Mike Vecchione, right? We haven't heard much about him since he came out of college and signed with the Flyers. Maybe it's Morgan Frost, if Morgan Frost is ready. And honestly, Morgan Frost is beefing up. I don't know if you saw him at development camp.
Yeah.
He's gained weight. He's gained muscle.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a chance that one of these guys makes the NHL roster. And I think the Flyers would rather be patient. Like, if one of these guys is ready, I would rather put him in than block his path for another year by signing a Val Filppula type player.
Right.
Right. And obviously it's not Val Filppula because he's in New York.
Obviously.
But we just spent 2 years trying to get rid of Val Filppula. We still have Jori Lehterä. I don't think they're going to sign anybody else.
You don't think so?
No. I think they're going to save their money for their extensions. Right. Because the Flyers still have like $14 million in cap space.
Yeah.
I think if a move is going to happen, I think it's going to be a trade.
You think so?
Yeah. For a guy like Carlson, maybe.
Okay.
I don't think the Flyers are out of that running. if
I don't see it. I mean, what would it call? I mean, we've had this conversation before.
Let's just say, and I'm not saying that either team would necessarily take this. Wayne Simmonds, Travis Sanheim, and your 2019 first.
Done.
Does Ottawa do that?
No, not a chance.
Why is that?
Because Simmonds is basically damaged goods. 1 year left. He doesn't make sense in their plans.
You can always flip him.
That's easy to say, but how much are they willing to flip him for?
Well, they took a fourth and a sixth for Hoffman.
It's a different situation, though.
I know.
I mean, Hoffman, there was baggage there. Carlson, he's one of the best defensemen in the league.
I understand.
And then Sanheim, I think, is a top four defenseman. It's solid. And then 2019 first, if you're expecting to be good, it's not a great first. I think they could get more than that.
What if it's Sanheim, Myers, and two firsts?
They might do that.
You think the Flyers would do that?
No, I don't.
Okay, I agree.
I don't think they would.
Unless you know that you can re-sign Carlson, that's not a good move.
You would need to have like something agreed upon.
You would need to
have
an extension in place, basically. And Carlson does have permission to have those talks with the teams.
Yep.
So wherever he ends up going, and of course this news is going to break 2 hours after we record.
Oh, he's getting traded to Tampa.
News is going to break 2 hours after we record.
Yep.
But he's going to have an extension in place with whatever team he goes to. I don't know how Tampa can afford him.
I don't know. I mean, they have Stamkos locked up for a while for big money.
When is Vasilevskiy's contract? What's Vasilevskiy's contract look like?
He's still on his entry-level deal, I believe.
Yeah, for what, one more year?
One or two
more
years.
Does he have to sign next summer, too?
I don't know.
Try signing Andre Vasilevskiy and Erik Karlsson and Nikita Kucherov in the same offseason. That's disgusting. You can't do it. And then Braden Point and Mikhail Sergachev will be coming up, although he might go over if they trade for Hoffman.
Right.
Or trade for Carlson.
That's
rather.
One rumor that came out is that the Rangers were involved and they were a third team. And they were
I heard
on
it was
Ryan,
a three-way deal.
Ryan Callahan, right. who has a big cap hit on Tampa. So I heard those rumors. But
yeah, we'll see. And I think there will be a third team involved just so Tampa can make the cap space work.
Right.
But their team is... I don't know, man. They got a lot of figuring to do if they're going to try to add a guy like Carlson.
Nikita Kucherov, this is his last year of his... He's not on his ELC, but...
His bridge deal?
Yeah. He's a restricted free agent after this year.
Okay.
So is Braden Point.
Yeah, so that's a lot of money.
But then again, you also have Anton Strawman and Braden Coburn both...
Coming off the books.
And Dan Girardi.
Yeah, but Erik Karlsson...
So that's close to 10 mil right there. That's over 10 mil.
Erik Karlsson has already been pretty adamant that he wants a John Tavares deal.
Sure.
He wants 7x11.
Yeah, he's going to look exactly at the... I mean, I think the closer comparison is Drew Doughty deal.
Yeah.
I mean...
Which was 8x11.
He can't get 8 if he goes... Well, I guess if he signs an extension, he could.
If he gets traded to Tampa, they can sign him to 8.
Yeah. So I think he's going to look at that and say, hey, I think we're comparable. Give me what he got.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's unfair.
But
one of the best D in the game.
We'll see where that goes. And it's the summertime. So we're actually going to ask you, our listeners, to send us topics that you would like us to talk about. And we don't have much going on. The Eagles don't show up for training camp for another month and a half.
I can't wait for football season.
I know.
Like, I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm itching. Like, I need it to be here.
If you're itching, you should probably see a doctor. So,
tickled.
Training camp doesn't start for another 5 or 6 weeks. Flyers don't start. You know, they don't come back to camp until late August, early September. The Phillies are kind of in the heat of summer now, and there's really not a ton going on. So we actually want you to tell us what you want us to talk about. What do you want to hear us do a show on? Give us a show topic. Your favorite trade, your favorite player ever. That's a good one. Tell us who your favorite player ever is in Flyers history. And we'll talk about that on next week's show. And you can tell us that on Twitter at YWTPodcast. You can also tweet me at K Collington and Mike at Mike_Giletto. You can also tell us on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, or lastwordonsports.com. Also, I want to hit on iTunes real quick. Leave us reviews.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten reviews in a while.
We haven't, no.
And maybe our next giveaway will be iTunes-based.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll think of something.
So leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know what you think of the show. We do love hearing your feedback. And again,
except that one dope that they gave me a shit review. But
we're not going to go there. Yeah. Anyway, you guys know
what the hell he's talking about. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
You guys know where to find us. You can. Our logo was created for us by Ben at BennyTheJet55 and at FuzzForge. And that's about it. Let us know what you think. And we'll be back next week. Thank you.
Mine is, where's the beer?